If you expect your media investment to deliver clear, measurable results, Walmart Connect can help you get there with powerful analytics and the reach of America's number one retailer. Their closed-loop measurement uses Walmart's proprietary customer purchase data to track the impact of your campaign on sales, not just on Walmart's site and app, but also in-store. For some campaigns, they can even provide rest-of-market data that tracks the impact on sales at other retailers. Visit WalmartConnect.com today and see how they can help make your media spend meaningful. Walmart Connect, more than media, meaningful connections. Hello, listeners. Today is Wednesday, April 24th. Welcome to Behind the Numbers, Reimagining Retail, an e-marketer podcast made possible by Walmart Connect. This is the show where we talk about how retail collides with every part of our lives. I'm your host, Sarah Lebo. Today's episode topic is our April unofficial Most Interesting Retailers of the Month list. Before we get started, I just wanted to let listeners know that the Reimagining Retail show will now be available only on the Behind the Numbers RSS feed. It will still be every Wednesday. Just search for Behind the Numbers and eMarketer podcasts wherever you listen to podcasts. Let's meet today's guests. Joining me for today's episode, we have senior analyst Ariel Fager. Welcome back, Ariel.
Thanks. I'm tickled to be here today.
Whoa. Also here, our VP of content on our retail desk, Susie David Canyon. Hey, Susie.
Hey, Sarah. Hi, everyone.
And also here is senior analyst Blake Drosch. Hi, Blake.
Hey, Sarah. Good to be back.
Let's get started with Free Sample. Our Did You Know segment, where I share a fun fact, tidbit, or question. Ariel, I know you're aware of this because we talked about this, but I'm not sure you remember the specifics. A company released a scented billboard in the Netherlands. What company was it? I think you remember, Ariel, based on your face.
I'm holding back.
Do either of you know?
It's a taco company. No, I don't. I didn't know.
I heard about this, but I forget who it was.
Any guesses?
In the Netherlands?
It must be a perfume one.
Perfume.
Oh, is the Netherlands the guess? Is that the hint or is it just that they're a little bit
ahead?
No,
that's just where it is if you want to smell it.
Is it tulips?
No, you're far off. Your first guess was better. It's McDonald's.
Oh, yeah.
And it smells like French fries. The CMO of McDonald's Netherlands said, "Smell has been proven to be more effective at sparking clear and emotional memories than images." Fair enough. Would you guys smell the billboard?
No.
But do you have to go close up to it, though? I can't imagine.
Yeah, you gotta, like, go
It's like a scratch and sniff of, like, when we were
kids. You don't have to scratch it. I'm pretty sure it, like, sends it out at you. I don't think, like, the actual material is scented. But I would smell it. If someone was like, that billboard is scented, I wouldn't, like, not do that.
I went to a museum in France that was a wine museum, and it was all about experiential museum, and so they had a lot of scents, but you had to, like, pump something for the, like, citrus to come out so that you know this is what Sauvignon Blanc might smell like. But it's very cool, and I do think that that's why they scent is important, and that's probably why the real estate agents have you cooking and baking before you're showing your house, right? It's definitely, I don't know, is it friction filled? I'm not sure.
If it's really tall, you know, billboards usually up there, and I don't like heights. So.
Yeah, you don't have to climb up.
If I can roll down,
like, it's not like a, is it like a highway billboard?
If I can roll down the window of my scaling. Car and just smell it, and yeah, why wouldn't I?
All right, we're going
to
keep
scale
moving.
The facade of the billboard.
No, I envision it more like a bus thing, like on a bus.
You think it's in the middle of, like, a walkable area?
Yeah, I think it's street level.
Blake, come on.
Okay, now it's time for our segment called the Unofficial Most Interesting Retailers of the Month list. Ariel, our colleague Becky, and I, aka the committee, have once again put together a very unofficial list of 8 retailers we're watching right now, based on which retailers made the most interesting moves this month. What does interesting mean? Launching new initiatives, partnerships that move the needle, overperforming earnings, notable social media buzz, standout marketing campaigns, etc. This list, as always, is hyper-subjective, but supported with objective analysis. Ariel and I will present our list in the first half of this episode, and in the second half, Blake and Susie will have the opportunity to edit our list. So, here's our list. Number 8, Target, for their new campaign featuring Kristen Wiig as her iconic Saturday Night Live character, the Target Lady. The campaign promoted Target's paid membership launch ahead of its members-only Circle Week event earlier this month. Target is down from number 4 in our list in March. Thoughts on this?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to help. I mean, it's probably the right person in terms of the audience that they think that they have, like the consumer that they have. But I don't know that having an amazing spokesperson is going to get people to buy into one more retail membership for all the reasons that we've discussed over the last 2 months.
Yeah, I've heard more talk about the ad campaign than about like the membership itself. I actually didn't realize the campaign was for the membership specifically until looking into this, because I just see Kristen Wiig and then I sort of think that's funny and tune out the rest. Number 7, Amazon, for launching an Amazon Live shopping channel on Prime Video and on Freevee, and for extending its smart carts to other retailers. Amazon is down from number 1 on our list in March. Arielle, tell us more.
Yeah, so I think this is a really interesting thing. You know, the idea of being able to just flip through your channels to choose a shoppable channel. I mean, it's going to have, you know, content creators. There's an app where viewers can shop the show and, you know, simultaneously be on their phones and be watching the content. So I think it's really interesting. And I know TikTok gets a lot of recognition for, you know, the live commerce push, but Amazon's trying to do it too.
I don't totally have faith in this one. Like, it's definitely interesting. I think it's on the list because it's interesting. But like, HSN is doing some kind of cool stuff. They have like Busy Phillips doing one of their shows, who another everyone loves her person. I don't know why someone who like is an HSN watcher would necessarily flip to Amazon.
I don't think it's necessarily going to be HSN watchers. I think it's going to be people who have creators that they already know and love and that are going to tune in to see what they're doing on these channels.
Fair enough. Okay, number 6, Netflix, for announcing 2 brick-and-mortar locations opening in 2025. These locations will feature a retail marketplace as well as a theater, amusement rooms, and a dining space. This is a rare Netflix showing on a list that's usually dedicated to retailers, so let me know what you think.
They announced the site for one of their locations is going to be at the King of Prussia Mall in Pennsylvania. So I think that's the news is, okay, they've kind of been saying this is going to happen for a while, but now they're kind of saying, okay, this is where it's going to be. And I think shared a few more details on what the location will encompass.
It's weird that they picked that mall. I think the idea that it's shopping plus entertainment is probably more in their favor, but nobody needs another physical marketplace of a bunch of randomness, right? If you think about some of those like fun, quirky stores that are unique items, I kind of feel like that's what it'll be like. And Amazon showed us that that didn't work when you try and bring that online experience in store.
Disney used to have mall stores, maybe they still do, that were like definitely destinations at the mall. But this was like when I was a kid and going to the mall was more of an activity.
Yeah, but you were buying Disney dolls and like characters and other things. I mean, Netflix does have some of their own property, but like, I don't know that it has that same sort of fun, like a Harry Potter even. I think like there are lots of stores we can point to that are that idea. Mm-hmm. It's just Netflix is more of like an aggregator of content than this like big brand of content.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think they have the IP to really like build out an experience the way that Disney can.
I actually have been to the King of Prussia Mall. It's like the biggest mall in the country.
The third biggest mall in the country. I'm
so sorry. It's like two malls glued together. It's an impressive mall.
I can imagine like a big social kind of people going there to do, you know, their Instagram posts or make TikToks. I can see that kind of being a draw.
And the movie theater. I would see Netflix stuff in the theater.
You actually can do that in New York at the Paris Theater.
Then apparently I wouldn't because it's available to me and I'm not doing it. Number 5, Rent the Runway, for its focus on retail media and cross-channel creative. Rent the Runway is up from an honorable mention spot of 10 last month. Ariel, say why.
So they've got a new CMO, Natalie McGrath. She started back in March, and they just unveiled kind of this massive kind of revamping of what they're doing when they're marketing. They're really focusing on kind of top of the funnel, consideration stage content. They're really trying to hone in on key audience needs and what they're looking for. And they hinted at a possible retail media network.
I'm not impressed. Sorry.
Why aren't you impressed, Susie?
Well, I just think they're not like, their concept originally was we are a tech company provide and a laundry service kind of company, right? And then they sort of failed for many reasons, of which some of them were also COVID related. Clearly, everybody had that issue. But then they had a tough time ramping up. And yes, marketing is very important. Understanding how to monetize people's behaviors is very important. But I just don't think it's enough.
Yeah, Rent the Runway is a company that, like, I'm not even sure is like the strongest in their category. I feel like around me, people I know are using Nuuly a lot more for clothing rentals. So, like, I'm not even sure they have the strongest brand there.
They are trying to figure out how to bring on new brands. There was some staleness of the and like old factor of the thing, not old by age. I just mean like dated, like things were dated a little bit. So they are, I think, trying to revamp a lot of things. I just think it's a lot of moving parts and it's so expensive to bring on all that clothes. It's like so much more liability that it's going to take some time for them to figure it out. Although AI will help them. That's why they had this like meme stock moment. I just don't know if it's enough.
Okay, number four, TikTok Shop, which fell off the list last month but is back this month due to new credit card transaction data that shows its effectiveness. Ariel, why is this?
So, you know, for a long time, we've really been unsure about how TikTok Shop is actually performing. And so, you know, to have data that, you know, kind of says, okay, yeah, this is having traction with consumers. I think it's a positive thing. And I think it gives brands some validation with, okay, why would we be on TikTok Shop?
Yeah. Something else interesting about this is that it just shows how important that like payment transaction data is to proving effectiveness. I mean, they're not on here. They're not a retailer, but we saw Chase launch a media network this month. And it really shows like how important credit card transaction data is, not just for ad targeting, but for proving effectiveness. All right. Number three, the Home Depot for revamping its Orange Apron retail media network. Ariel, say more.
Yeah. So, you know, we're seeing kind of a lot of retail media networks really start to kind of build out their services and their platforms. And the Home Depot is one of them. They got a new name, Orange Apron Media, which I think is fun. And, you know, they're starting to open up to non-endemic advertisers. They're introducing a data clean room solution, and they're adding new media partners to really help advertisers with kind of that top of the funnel mix. So, you know, I think it's just, again, listening to what advertisers are looking for from retail media networks and delivering on that.
Yeah, good to see the Home Depot revamping their retail media network. The Home Depot is a brand that could do a scented billboard. I really associate them with that sawdust smell. Okay, number two, Temu, which has set up new warehouses in the U.S. to speed up delivery. Before this, consumers had to wait for Temu's very cheap products to come from China, warehouses in China. But the warehouses bring Temu back onto our list after it fell off last month. Any thoughts from the crew?
Temu is not going to win the delivery race. Amazon really just has that covered. But, you know, I think any chance they have to kind of increase customer satisfaction and, you know, keep customers loyal is a good opportunity for them.
Plus, it makes it much cheaper for them to run their business, right? Having distribution, bringing all the merchandise on a ship or however they're bringing it, having it stored in centralized places, which I'm sure they've done the math of where it should be, will then make each item margin much higher for them. And when the goods are so cheap to begin with, I think every cent counts.
All right, we're at number one. Number one, Walmart, which is way up from number seven in March due to a ton of retail media innovations. Walmart Connect is increasing its in-store retail media inventory with enhanced sampling and with self-serve inventory for its TV wall. It's providing display ads to brands of all sizes, and it's enhancing its capacity to measure ad success in stores. Walmart Connect is also combining capabilities with its supply chain platform and just all around making a lot of retail media innovations.
So I thought you were going to talk about it. You kind of talked about it. I thought this was on the list because of Luminate. They piloted Luminate working with Walmart Connect to see if that was going to work or not. And it apparently has worked. And so now they're rolling it out, and it'll roll out to all of their suppliers. So in this instance, suppliers are like the crafts and CPGs of the world. And they are like, it's genius. It's like a new revenue stream. They're able to figure out how to do the closed loop attribution because of the connect component. But the part that's really important, that's a little bit like an IRI, is the Luminate part, right? So IRI Nielsen have transactional data, and now they're like, Walmart is going to give Kraft and whoever else that kind of data to understand the behavior of people, which is brilliant. And every person in that world needs to worry.
Wow. I found that like interesting. I definitely wasn't categorizing it as brilliant genius. So interesting to hear.
Oh, super, super brilliant. Because what happens is Kraft either has to give their data to IRI or Nielsen, and then they get back data. It's like this whole idea around category management and inventory planning so that they can understand what's happening in their world of like mac and cheese compared to other brands. And so Walmart is saying, not only will we give you that information through Luminate, but we're going to pair it with what consumers are doing. So it's truly brilliant.
Okay. I'm glad we put them at number one. So recapping our final list for April, we have at number 8, Target. Number 7, Amazon. Number 6, Netflix. Number 5, Rent the Runway. Number 4, TikTok Shop. Number 3, The Home Depot. Number 2, Temu. And number 1, Walmart. We also have an honorable mention of 9 and 10, which didn't quite make the list. At number 9, we have Lego for marketing to adults and to people with sensory sensitivities. And we have Instacart for partnering with PubMatic on programmatic ads. That concludes our list. Now it's time for our second half, where Susie and Blake get to tell us all the places where we went wrong. Susie and Blake will each have a chance to move a brand up or down on our rankings list and to add a new company entirely. So let's start off. Blake, make a move.
I'm going to drop Netflix to the bottom of this list. I wasn't thoroughly convinced on their concepts, particularly because they are targeting malls in terms of a retail expansion. And I just think, you know, Netflix isn't powerful enough to really revive the mall in any meaningful way. I mean, as I mentioned, I don't think that they really have the intellectual property in this at this point to build an in-store brand in the way that we've seen from like Disney or Warner Brothers do back in the heyday. I think other than really Stranger Things, there's not much out there. So I'm in more of a wait and see until 2025 to see what Netflix is going to do.
Okay, so Blake is moving Netflix from number 6 to number 8. Ariel, are you accepting this move?
I accept it. Like I said, I'm curious to see what happens, so it might be prudent to wait.
The thing is, if it moves down to number 6, it's dropping below Amazon and Target. I don't think either of them did particularly interesting things this month. I think it's more interesting to me that Netflix is making retail moves.
Well, they're saying they're going to do it, right? There's a lot of time between now and then. Whereas what the others are doing is current.
I'll allow it. We'll move Netflix down to number 8. Susie, you make a move.
So I would move Rent the Runway completely off. I also agree with moving Netflix. I would have moved them off. And I would move Lego in, not because of the marketing stuff you're talking about, but more in addition to, I would also say, I think they're really leaning into partnering with different types of distribution channels, from grocery stores to the airports. There was a new, like they're selling new things at Aldi, which I think is very cool. You know, like they know where kids are, where they're a little bit impatient, and how parents can get the kids sort of feeling better a little bit about their trip to the grocery store or other channels. They really lean so heavily into characters, so all the new Star Wars-y things that are coming out. I just think they're doing a really good job.
Yeah, I mean, talk about a company that does have like good IP, maybe not its own IP, but like works with good IP.
Well, I think they would tell you they have their own IP, right? The way that the Legos come together, the way that they do like everything under the sun is now a Lego thing. Yeah. Like every bridge, every big tower, they have stores that are very cool. I really think they would like to say that they are, Lego is cool. And there's not that many other Lego style, you know what I mean? Like it's not duped. There's no real private label. I think parents have to purchase it. It's kind of like a little luxury for your child. They're very cool.
So we're moving Rent the Runway off the list. Rent the Runway was at number 5, and we're replacing that with Lego. Ariel, do you accept this move?
I do. Again, the Rent the Runway stuff remains to be seen, you know, and Lego has proven time and time again that it really does connect really well with its audience. So I'm okay with this move.
Yeah, I'm also fine with this move. I feel like we're not like fighting for our list enough, but like you're making good arguments. Let's get into wildcards. Yeah! This is where you can both add a new company entirely to the list, which Susie kind of did, but it was in our honorable mentions, so I'm giving her another one. Susie, what is your wild card?
Mine is Coach. Coach Global. It's an American brand. It's from the 40s, I believe, here. It's had a lot of ups and downs. I was in a department store setting when it had a giant down, and it was not going well, and all of a sudden it's on an uptick, and I think it's from everything that has to do with their marketing, but they're also thinking about new experiences. They're definitely in turnaround mode, and I could go on and on, but I think the most important thing to think about is they're resonating with a younger audience. Folks like J-Lo are helping with that because she is able to help both with the older audience, but also she resonates with a younger audience. Their sales are up 6.4% in their latest earnings call. They are helping Tapestry really do well. And when you think about Coach sales in terms of how luxury sales are doing, they're outpacing. So I would put them at the top.
I'm fascinated by this because on this podcast before, we've talked about long time ago, to be fair, but we've talked about Coach as a brand that doesn't necessarily know its identity, that borders high luxury and affordable luxury, and that has sort of like cheapened its brand. So I'm fascinated that you're bullish on them again.
So I think what happened is they went from these very expensive leather bags, right? So that we're talking about a long time ago, not even like just before COVID. We're talking about a really long time ago. They went from being known as leather to then going into this fabric and trying to reach a younger consumer and doing that sort of bridge, like how Hermes might do like a bracelet or a scarf to their bags. So they were doing all that Coach, and it was a trend at the time. They were not alone with all of the Coach logoing on their bags and all the fabric. Like if you think about them, they all did it. Michael Kors did it. Everybody did it who had some sort of symbol. Calvin Klein did it on all kinds of things. And then they were like, wait a second, we need to go back to our roots, which is not unusual for some brands. And they started working through that. And so they have really taken this idea of experiential. So they've just launched a restaurant hospitality sort of experience in Asia. They are really thinking about pops of color and how do you go back to your roots, but still resonate with younger folks in the right price points.
So we're taking Coach and we're effectively, I think, kicking Netflix off of the list to add them. Ariel, do you accept that move?
I do. And I also have a fun fact. The original founders of Coach, the Khans, after they sold Coach, they started a farm in upstate New York. And then they went on to sell cheese, goat cheese, and other cheeses for a very long time. So
I really want the Coach brand goat cheese.
It's a very interesting story. I've done some research on them before at a previous job, so it's pretty interesting.
I'll also accept this move, mostly because Coach has a really good Peanuts collab with some bag designs that have Snoopy and Woodstock on them that I really want. So, Blake, what is your wild card?
I'm going to suggest that we add Yeti to the list. Not super high up, but towards, you know, somewhere near the back, maybe taking Target off, because I think, honestly, the launch of their way too late paid membership is just embarrassing at this point, if I'm allowed to be so frank about a retailer on the podcast. But I think they're just a little bit late there, so I wouldn't give them a ton of credit for doing something that they should have done a while ago. Anyways, Yeti is just one of those brands that in sort of this new era where D2Cs are really struggling to increase their D2C sales, Yeti just opened their 20th store in New York City, and they, in their earnings, their full year 2023 earnings, their D2C sales were actually up 9%, which is more than their full year sales, which was just 4%. And I think, you know, for a brand that was started in 2006, I believe, hasn't really been around a long time, and there are a lot of brands that really sort of grew up over the last 20 years that are now struggling to increase D2C sales and are going the route of partnering with retailers instead. But I think, you know, Yeti's been very smart about not just positioning their brand to like a core demographic, but then working beyond to appeal beyond that core demographic. And they've been very smart about that. So I think that this expansion into brick and mortar is just going to be another good move in terms of them, you know, increasing their margins by leaning more into D2C in a time where not a lot of brands are doing that.
I'm fine with that. We're really not fighting for our list this month. I feel like this is usually more heated. I'm fine with that. Something interesting we were talking about while putting this list together is how some brands, Yeti is not one that came up, but Levi was, are succeeding at D2C, while other brands, notably Nike, are like moving away from it. And just like, I think it's interesting. I don't really know what is making that work for some brands and what isn't for others.
That could be a whole other podcast.
We're going to write about it, so I'm probably going to need some thoughts from both of you.
Blake, go ahead.
I think it's really more about the balance. Like, Nike spent years investing a lot in D2C, and now they're pulling back. So it's just more the sort of, I think, the tide's turning where, you know, Levi's is maybe taking more of a risk on D2C, but Nike's just, I think, more evolved in trying to go at it on their own. And I think everyone's sort of realizing at different stages in their own journey and their own strategy that it's not about leaning on one channel or the other. It's about finding the right balance.
Fair enough.
I know Levi's well, so I don't know if it's exactly the, like, I think it's unfair to pit one brand versus the other, but it's just about thinking about the strategy, just like Blake said, and then adding, like we know, for example, Coach, they are also technically a D2C-esque brand, right? They have their own stores, but they go through other channels. Every brand has their moments of limelight, and there is a chance that in this particular example, Nike doesn't have that moment, whereas Denim and Levi's, they're working so hard at like revitalizing their own brand. So it's kind of like a very complicated, it's almost like we should do a whole podcast on this. Like, it's a very complicated balance. And you also don't want to upset your partners. So Nike was very vocal about coming out of some of the distribution channels and is now going back to them, versus Levi's just sort of did their thing, just kept doing their thing. They have some very cool stores. They're doing some very innovative things like refurbishing and resale. They're just a very cool brand.
All right. You'll have to keep listening to this podcast for when we eventually do that episode. We have a totally new list than we started with. So that's number 8. Yeti, number 7, Coach, number 6, Amazon, number 5, Lego, number 4, TikTok Shop, number 3, The Home Depot, number 2, Temu, and number 1, Walmart. I like that list. We didn't fight for our original one, but I like where we landed. It was collaborative.
Sometimes you gotta shake things up.
Sometimes you have to agree with Susie and Blake.
True.
On that note, thank you so much for being here, Susie.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Blake.
Anytime. Pleasure to be here.
And thanks, Ariel.
It's been a blast.
Please give us a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you to our listeners and to Victoria, who edits the podcast and for whom I would fight. We'll be back next Wednesday with another episode of Reimagining Retail, an eMarketer podcast. And tomorrow, join Marcus for another episode of the Behind the Numbers Daily, an eMarketer podcast made possible by Walmart Connect. Blake made such a face at that. He hated that.
It was just a little harsh. Why would you want to fight Victoria? She's so nice.
No, for whom? Not whom.
Oh, okay. I thought you said you wanted to fight her. That's why I made that face. I was a little caught off guard.
No, I wouldn't fight Victoria. She would win.